Please live in me, God. I will make room for you. My will, my way, my ego, my plans, my habits, my attitude. You can move that over. Whatever it is that's not like you, God, you can move that over. Whatever it is, you can move it over. Make Room. Lyrics by Jonathan McReynolds. You're listening to Our Given Purpose, the podcast. I am Tori, your host and certified life coach. Thank you for tuning in to part two of The Bitterness of Fear. Let's recap part one. We opened with acknowledging fear has experience. It has a resume. And I asked you, person of purpose, what does it say to you? I wondered if you had hired fear. We defined mentoring as the long-term process based on mutual trust and respect, recognizing God as the ultimate mentor, counselor, and father, having Christ as the perfect role model. Great is our Lord. We concluded that session by reading several scriptures, and I asked you to read with God as the central person as you meditated on His Word. Has fear made you bitter? The definition of bitter, that's very proper, isn't it? The definition of bitter is to be angry, hurt, or resentful because of one's bad experiences or a sense of unjust treatment, painful or unpleasant to accept or contemplate. I would like to combine or make a compound definition of bitter fear. And I would like to say it is the resentment caused by bad experiences and the belief that someone or something will likely cause unjust treatment, which is painful to accept. What do you think? Is that a good compound definition? Let me read it again. I had to write that down, okay? Bitter fear is the resentment caused by bad experiences and the belief that someone or something will likely cause unjust treatment, which is painful to accept. I'll let that sit. What does the Bible say about bitterness? If you can, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Put it away. Move it over. Okay. I must mention our memory verse for these 12 weeks, which is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Thinking back to part one and everything that has transpired over the last month or so, I panicked when I thought I had lost all control and ability to speak with you on this platform. Guilt and shame washed over me, and fear would not loosen its grip. But God, He reminded me that the ideas I was entertaining was not of Him. I could claim victory over that which sought to kill, steal, and destroy. God came to give life and to give it more abundantly. God does not take, but gives from the goodness that He is. As His created beings who are sinful in nature have the opportunity to give our lives to Him, we can do this by submitting to one command. Christ, the Son of God, spoke. That one command. Turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Verse 38 says, this is the great and first commandment. When I think about bitterness and how love covers a multitude of sins, I am taken back to Adam and Eve and how they were to govern themselves as they lived in the Garden of Eden. A simple question when we are about to do anything, we can ask, does this show love of the Lord my God? Is what you're doing, what you're contemplating, what you're thinking about, what you are measuring yourself up against as far as the comparison trap, the scarcity mindset, does it show love of the Lord our God? Thinking about others and what I'm doing to show love is my goal with each interaction. No, I am not perfect, and I don't always get it right, but it stops the blind, self-centered approach and having it my way. Let's go back into the New Testament with Paul, and he writes in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. To be in the will of God is to have an internal, unexplainable joy that cannot be taken away. It is the manifestation of Christ's work on the cross and the unimaginable gift he gave to his redeemed children. He conquered the grave by dying an excruciating death to prove his everlasting love. Not that he needed to, because we are undeserving. He did it because he is merciful, righteous, and a good, good father. Looking back at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him. And it says in verse 9, God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. The perfect triune, three-in-one Godhead reigning in heaven on the throne, God the Father sent God the Son, and after Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the incarnate God, walked this earth, performed miracles, healed countless people, fed thousands, taught with the eternal, all-knowing spiritual wisdom that only God fully comprehends, he submitted himself to the cross, the intersection for us as humans, the decision we must make to follow him or Satan. Those are the choices: to live righteous, holy lives, turning from evil, or succumbing to the temporary satisfactions that will have eternal consequences. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and verse 10 says, for if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? That means modeling our lives after Christ who walked this earth. If he did all of that with the knowledge that we are covered in sin, and he made the conscious decision to cover us with his love, this is our present reality. We have peace with God because of Christ's death on the cross. He submitted to human death, bearing the sins of our flesh to redeem us. As I allowed every negative thought and entertained every messy situation, recalled all the known sins I had committed, and asked the Holy Spirit to utter repentance for the things my conscience stubbornly wanted to block me from taking responsibility for, he reminded me of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me read that again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. God helped me take back the measure of power He had given me, the voice I am able to use to proclaim His righteousness, justice, and judgment. I redefined fear and it improved my vision. It is clear how it made me bitter, caused me to sin against God, blame others for my lack of self-control, and leave me in a messy pile of hard-hearted, often whining, always complaining negativity. Love was not the author of my day. It was hatred, bigotry, and I was a prodigal daughter. Fear blinded me to the hurt, frustration, intimidation, retaliation, all the shuns. Get that? No one knows more than you when fear is allowed to rule your heart. No one knew more than me when fear was allowed to rule in my heart. No one can help you when fear is the uncontrolled emotion. No one is good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, worthy enough to be your friend when fear is making the choice. The intent of fear is to kill, steal, and destroy all attempts to peaceably exist. Fear will make you bitter. It pushes out all the good that is intended and creates suspicion. The plague of ulterior motives will settle in, taking valuable time away from cultivating relationships in fertile soil, and instead counterfeiting love by replacing it with temporary happiness. Oh, Holy Spirit, let me say that again. It takes away the valuable time from cultivating relationships in fertile soil, and instead counterfeits love by replacing it with temporary happiness. I'm going to pause. Control, domination, and evil will make a mockery of the life God desired you to live according to His will. Find space for Jesus and treasure His word. Make time and choose Him as your priority. Father, help us to make room for You in our days and keep it holy and pleasing unto You. Lord, I thank You for all the moments that You interrupted my thoughts and You spoke Your words. Lord, I thank You for this platform. I am grateful for Your forgiveness, and I continue to repent of the known and unknown sins. I lift up all of those who are listening now, those who will share it with their friends and relatives, who will gather and open up their Bibles and read it with You as the center of the story. God, we want to be more like You. You are our ultimate counselor, our mentor, our friend, the lover of our souls. Father, we submit humbly to You. In Your name I pray. Amen. This has been Our Given Purpose, the podcast. Please check the links in the show notes for all the scriptures and quotes used in this episode. Thank you for being here, and I appreciate your grace as I journey to be more like Christ. Let those who have understanding pray for one another. www.ourgivenpurpose.com. This is Tori of Our Given Purpose, the podcast.